Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's ESPN Rochester's Mike Danger.
Along with Gene Battaglia, interviews, takes, and updates every day in the sports bar.
Join us weekdays 3 until 6 on AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app.
Who were those men?
Yeah, man.
Happy New Year. Welcome back to Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us at AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester. Welcoming in one of our favorites headed to Houston for Saturday's playoff matchup against the Texans. It's always a pleasure to have Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us in the Sports Bar. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. And you guys caught me just going through security, and they let me through. I'm on my way to Houston to cover this football game.
So that's did us calling you at that time, you said to security, hey, I've got to do a radio hit here. Can you please let me through? Did that help you out?
Well, what's funny is as I was walking through the metal detector, I have PSA pre-approval. So two people got held off to the side as I was walking through, and they said, oh, you can take one more. Otherwise, I probably would have missed your call. So I'm very thankful to these fine folks here.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, on his way to Houston to cover the big game on Saturday. Matt, the injury report coming out today for the Buffalo Bills. Four questionable: Lawson, Insecki, Roberts, and Wallace. What context can you add to that? Of those four, which of those guys would you say would be likely to suit up coming up on Saturday?
I mean, I think we're on our way to seeing Shaq Lawson, Ty Insecki, and Andre Roberts all play on Saturday. I was impressed with the progress that we saw out of those guys over the last 3 days. Andre Roberts, in particular, yesterday he was running back some kicks at the beginning of practice, and he looked like electric. I mean, I'm wondering if maybe he could have played last week if it was a playoff game. It wasn't hampered at all, was really accelerating nicely. Jack said on Tuesday that the hamstring feels good. He feels confident, good to go. He was a limited participant in practice all week. I would expect him to go as well. And then Ty, after practice yesterday, he had a couple assistant coaches, including Bobby Johnson, with him over to the side. And he was kind of doing some individual work where you could tell he was going through some reps and really testing that ankle and landing on it just to see what kind of things he could put it through. And it seemed like he came out of that okay. He was walking around pretty well today. So I anticipate all three of those guys playing. Levi Wallace, on the other hand, I'm not so sure, even if he is active, how much he'll be able to give. Didn't do any work in practice that we were able to see where he was backing up at all or asked to kind of change direction. That looked like a pretty nasty ankle sprain that he suffered. So I think Trey White said it today when asked about covering DeAndre Hopkins. He said whether it's on his side or if he's on Kevin Johnson's side, perhaps foreshadowing a little bit who's going to be playing on Saturday. So I think that they're happy with what Kevin Johnson brings. There's some depth there with Saran Neal, who played really well last week. And they'll go from there.
Kevin Johnson revenge game on Saturday, yeah, with Kevin Johnson returning to Houston. The injuries that Houston are going through right now are interesting to me as well, specifically with Will Fuller. Matt, what do we know about the Texans wide receiver? Because when he's in that game, he's a difference maker for that offense.
Yeah, he is. He is. But a couple things. First of all, he's not going to be 100% even if he's active. Coming off a groin injury, usually the time frame for that to get back to close to 100% is 3 weeks. And this would be ahead of schedule. So you got to figure he's probably not going to be 100%. Then you factor in the fact that he always seems to get hurt. Anybody that has him on fantasy probably knows that. And last year he played against the Bills. It wasn't really a factor. So he's a good player, don't get me wrong. But I don't think him being available or not being available is going to have a big impact on this game just because of the secondary of the Bills, which I think is the strength of their team. And I think you have a motivated group, you know, whether it be, you know, Lorenzo Alexander, perhaps, and every game could be his last at this point. And a safety combo in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, who, you know, are coming off a game against New England where this defense kind of laid an egg in a lot of ways. I mean, you hate to be that harsh, but 400-plus yards against the Patriots offense that was struggling. I think they have a point to make in this game. They're going to go on the road where they've been really, really strong all season. And I think that, you know, they match up really, really well with Deshaun Watson and this Houston offense. It's going to come down to DeAndre Hopkins versus Tre'Davious White, I think. Because I think that is going to be a matchup where Tre'Davious White is asked to shadow him quite a bit. I think it was the number I saw was about 60% of snaps last year in that game where Tre'Davious White was on DeAndre Hopkins. And he tried to downplay it today, which, you know, everybody saw the Instagram post that Hopkins put out yesterday and his touchdown catch over Trey White last year. And but that is a matchup, a key matchup that I think everybody's going to watch. And he's the type of player, Hopkins, that, you know, he could change the dynamic of a game. So a lot of interesting matchups with that Bills or that Houston offense, that Bills secondary.
Is that Houston offensive line, is that where it should be for a playoff team? Is that an area where the Bills can exploit this week?
I mean, you got to feel super excited as a Bills fan to see Trent Murphy break out in a big way last week. Obviously, the Jets have one of the worst offensive lines in the league, but any type of confidence booster there has to be a positive for you. But, you know, Jerry Hughes has a point to make. I mean, the sack numbers haven't been there, and I think at this front seven, including Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds, did a really, really good job in rushing the passer against Deshaun Watson at the bad offensive line last year. Laremy Tunsil's very good, but he's also dealing with an injury. So, yeah, I think 100% this is a game where you can kind of pin your ears back a little bit. And I think that the real area that I think that they can attack is from that inside with Ed Oliver and Jordan Phillips. Kyle Williams had 2 sacks against this team at 35 years old last year. So I think Jordan Phillips and Ed Oliver could really leave their mark in this game.
Matt, we spent a lot of time talking about Deshaun Watson and the explosiveness of the passing game for Houston. Are we overlooking the run game for Houston? Very quietly, Carlos Hyde had a 1,000-yard rushing season, and at periods of time this season, the Bills' run defense was suspect.
Potentially. I mean, that's a great point. And I think you know, what they could possibly do is take advantage of an area that a lot of teams have taken advantage of the Bills, and that's putting two running backs on the field at the same time. And in Duke Johnson, you have a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield, make a lot of plays in the passing game. And that's been an area where the Bills at times have struggled to contend with this season. You go back to that Philadelphia game when Miles Sanders broke that big one. I'm pretty sure that was on a screen pass. Yeah. And if it wasn't, it was on a draw or something. And, you know, so you got to be careful with those kind of guys. And Carlos Hyde is that number one. But sometimes if you don't account for Duke Williams, he's going to make you Duke Williams, Duke Johnson. There's too many Dukes out there in this game. That's another guy we could talk about that everybody wants to talk about.
Well, I mean, I know the Bills against their resume, they've got a loss that looks really bad now, Cleveland. But I'm trying to figure out, who are these Houston Texans? Are they a team that beat New England on Sunday Night Football, looked great, and they also are a team that got scorched by Drew Locke? So any theory as to why this team has been inconsistent this year, Matt?
You know, here's the thing. I went back and watched that New England game and that Tampa Bay game, two of their last couple games this last month. And, you know, one thing that really jumped out at me was, you know, the game flipped on a turnover. So, you know, Tom Brady, Jameis Winston both made very costly mistakes, tried to get the ball to a receiver, and Bradley Roby, you know, kind of a underwhelming name. A lot of fans probably know, but he was a free agent acquisition this offseason. He made him pay for it, and they scored points off both those plays. And one of the keys of the game that we've been talking about all week is the Bills have to take care of the ball, because if you give this Houston offense any type of life, any type of momentum at home, they're usually going to take advantage of it. They've proven it over the course of the last month. So I think that they're a good team. They have a bad offensive line, but they have some weapons. Even Darren Fells is a guy that I don't think, you know, unless you're a pretty hardcore fantasy player, you probably don't even know who he is. But he's a tight end that can make some plays as well. He had a touchdown catch a couple weeks ago that I thought was pretty impressive. So you got to come with your best effort. But I think everywhere you kind of match up the Texans offense versus the Bills defense, the Bills have a lot of advantageous matchups. And it just comes down to, you know, being fundamentally sound. I mean, it's the cliche that Sean McDermott used all year. You know, be gap sound and tackle well. They didn't tackle well against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. They have to tackle in this game, whether it be the running backs, the receivers, and they have to be, you know, honest in pursuit of Deshaun Watson, because if they're not, he's a deceptive guy that can make you pay. They run a lot of RPOs, and not the same way that Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens do, but similar. And Lorenzo Alexander said this week that that's an area that they've been working on. Ray McCloud has actually been running some quarterback again this week, along with Matt Barkley, to kind of prep the defense for that kind of look. So I would expect them to come in here, have a similar kind of effort. I think it was under 250 yards of total offense for the Texans last year, and that's where you want to hit. And then you turn over to the offensive side of the ball, and you say, okay, Josh Allen, you're going against you know, the 30th ranked defense in a couple categories. They give up a lot of yards. They give up a lot of points. Go out there and make some plays on the road where you kind of built your brand this year. I mean, good game against Dallas, good game against Pittsburgh, those big spots, and win a football game and take another step.
You can read his work at NewYorkUpstate.com. Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matt, you mentioned turnovers in the game against New England, turnovers in the game against Tampa that kind of flipped that game in favor of Houston. Hey, listen, the Bills quarterback and Josh Allen has been a little careless with the football through the course of the season. I'm just curious, over the last quarter of the season, the last four games, the Bills losing three out of those last four. Give me your assessment of Josh Allen for that final stretch here down the season.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's run into a couple of really good defenses, which he's not going to be facing this weekend. And against those defenses, he's had trouble getting it locked in early. And that's been a kind of a talking point. And he's talked about pregame jitters. He's talked about not finding completions early on in games. This is the kind of atmosphere and the type of game where that can't be an excuse. That can't be something that happens, because you have the luxury of going up against a defense that's probably going to, you know, allow you to make some plays and, you know, some big plays, some splash plays. But the big name that I keep coming back to on the offense, more so than Josh Allen, is Devin Singletary, because I think that he could be the guy that really impacts this game and makes a bunch of huge splash plays that change the complexion of things. I mean, if you can rely on him, I mean, I think that Texans are giving over five yards a rush or something. I can't remember the stat. I've gone through so many stats over the last 5 days. I can't remember, keep them all together. But Devin Singletary is a guy that could just help you sustain drives. But even when that happens, and even if he's effective, I do think that Josh Allen has the ability against a banged-up secondary, who now the strong safety, Sean Gibson, he's on IR. He won't play in the game. Jonathan Joseph and Roby both dealing with hamstring injuries. We'll see what their status are. The injury report probably came out, but I haven't seen it yet. So we'll see what their status is. That's a banged-up secondary, and it's not super great to begin with. So, you know, they have J.J. Watt back. I expect him to play probably 40-ish percent of the snaps if they're pushing it. His conditioning is not going to be where it needs to be, but he's still J.J. Watt, and you have to account for him. But I don't anticipate the pass rush is going to be anything that Josh Allen hasn't seen much better over the course of the last month, and he should be able to, you know, make plays, move the ball, and then it comes down to what we talked about at the beginning of the season. You move the ball, can you score points? They've done that at times. I think the Dallas game is a perfect model. If he can replicate that, take care of the football, complete your passes at a high percentage, and make a couple plays in the red zone, where, by the way, the Texans are absolutely putrid. Over 70% of plays, Ryan Talbot just found this stat here, 70% of plays when Texans opponents get in the red zone, they score a touchdown on over the last 2 years. So, and that's where the Bills do a lot of their good work. So just, this was the matchup. This was the matchup we talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks that the Bills wanted. Now they have it. They have to execute.
Matt, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but it's new to us talking about playoff games here. It's also new, the concept that a coordinator could get poached. Did the Browns actually ask for permission to interview Brian Daboll? Do we know anything about that?
So the latest report out of Cleveland, Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, reported that he will interview on Sunday in Buffalo, which would mean that he probably did get permission. We don't have any details on that from the Bills, because when Sean McDermott was asked about it after the report surfaced, he said that the team is focused on Houston, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a tough situation where, you know, you're going into, you know, the biggest game in over two decades for your franchise, And, you know, you have to start answering these questions now because, like you said, they are good, and teams are going to probably look at their coordinators. Wesley Frazier is an interesting name because I think that he's probably more popular option amongst fans because of how good this defense has been. He's had head coaching experience, but I haven't seen any reports for him getting asked to be interviewed. And part of that makes, you know, you start to wonder if that's because he had a crack at being a head coach before, wasn't super successful. And there's still some questions with Brian Daboll. As unsuccessful as he's been at previous stops as an offensive coordinator, there's still that great unknown. What has he learned from Sean McDermott and about this culture that everybody around the league is raving about that McDermott and Brandon Bean have built here? And if Brian Daboll can bring his creativity from an offensive perspective into a head coaching job and bring along the elements of culture that he's learned, not only from Sean McDermott, but his time spent in New England under Bill Belichick, man, all of a sudden he becomes a really interesting head coaching candidate. I think it would be disappointing for the Bills to lose Brian Daboll. I know everybody is that there's the proponents and the opponents of Brian Daboll, the play caller and the offensive coordinator, but you cannot argue with me that he has not been vital in the development of a player in Josh Allen, who at times last season looked lost and like potentially a real bust of a prospect. And he's turned him into sixth in the league in touchdowns overall. And I think he's raised his completion percentage 6 points, maybe 5 points, which I don't think a lot of people thought he would even come close to approaching 60% this year. So it's a tough situation, but as you get better, you're going to have to deal with things like
that. Now, hypothetically, if Daboll does leave, if he does get that opportunity to go be a head coach somewhere, what does that do long-term to the development of Josh Allen? You have to bring in a new coordinator, a new system, a new language to speak?
Yeah, I think it could, in the short term, really be something that has a negative impact. I think that, you know, every time he's asked about, you know, a question about his development or a question about how he handles something, he harkens back to Brian Daboll and how gives him credit for his development and the relationships they have and the continuity that they've built. He credits that for a lot of his success. So to take that away from him when I feel like he is kind of really starting to hit his stride up the mountain and trying to reach a level of production that I think that, you know, can lead this team into some success over years and years, to break that up now is going to be tough. I it's interesting with Brian. He's from Western New York. We've talked about that over and over again with him, and grew up a Bills fan. I wonder how perfect of a situation it would have to be for Brian to kind of leave the most successful now stop in his as a coordinator in the NFL in Buffalo with all of this potential success on the horizon for an opportunity that may not be ideal, whether it be a real overhaul of a franchise or a complete culture change. In Cleveland, they have some talent there, but it seems like a really messy situation, and you have to wonder who they're going to bring in as the general manager. And so I don't know. All these questions loom, but I think that you want to keep this together for Josh Allen if you're this front office. But, you know, to be a head coach in this league, only 32 people in the world get to do it, so you wouldn't blame them.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here as he is awaiting his flight, joining us here from the airport. As we wrap up here, Matt, you know, looking ahead to the prediction coming up on Saturday. 2 years ago, I think most Bills fans, hey, we're just happy to be here. This is a lot of fun, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of disappointed faces after a playoff loss. This time around, it might be different knowing that this was a much better season, certainly record-wise it was. How do you see this game playing out on Saturday? Who's going to win, in your opinion?
So it's interesting you say that because the line opened at 3, and I think it's down to 2.5 at the Westgate in Vegas, which means money's coming in on the Bills. And it's not surprising because you take the temperature of everybody out there, and it feels like people are expecting the Bills to win this game. And that's a dangerous place to be if you're a Bills fan, because how many times have you been in a tough spot like that over the years and had to suffer some defeat? But I really, like we talked about, there's just too many advantageous matchups in this game. And a team with the Bills, I think they're better coached. I was listening to an interview earlier this week, Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network, had somebody on his podcast. They were talking about Lance Zierlein, the NFL draft expert,
yeah.
and he had said that Bill O'Brien. The rumor around Houston is that he's so sidetracked with everything that's going on with the front office work because he has to act as the general manager as well. That a lot of times he's not even a part of install during the week. He's not really coming into that part of the process until Friday or Saturday. And you know, in NFL circles, that is just absolutely eye popping. For the offensive mind guy to not be a part of that process. So there might be some disconnect there. There's a lot of question marks with J.J. Watt and Will Fuller. And I think the Bills are well coached. I think that they're not going to beat themselves, and they're going to force the Texans to beat them. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Bills are going to win 28-21. I still think that Josh Allen might turn the ball over, and that might be costly at some point. But I think they're going to score enough points for Lyon, Devin Singletary in this run game. It's going to be a big big celebration on Saturday night, so we'll see. But I also have an extra thing for you if you have a second.
Yeah, yeah.
I got another gentleman going to Houston with me right here that's going to drop his prediction. Let him drop it on you real quick.
Hey, Ryan Telby.
Ah! Wow, we get two for the price of one. Wow, that's you guys get a discount deal for booking seats next to each other? Or you?
We did. I have the Bills winning this one, too. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think they're going to end up winning 24-16.
There you go. Ryan Talbot saying 24-16, 28-21 for Perino. Both of the beat reporters for the Syracuse Post-Standard have the Buffalo Bills winning on Saturday.
That's nice. Ryan, we got to get you up. The Bonnies are coming to Rochester. I'm sure you heard that. So,
yeah, I already kicked him off, and he's actually, this is his first trip of the year, so he's going to get us coffee. And also, he's not sitting next to me on the flight. He told me he falls asleep on flights and starts snoring, so I put him a couple rows up.
That's good.
Yeah, then you don't have to share a room with you, do you? The two of you?
Those aren't pillows.
Wow. Guys, Happy New Year. Thank you so much for having us on. As always, we always love chat.
You're right. The best, Matt. Thanks, safe Matt. Travels. Enjoy the game on Saturday. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. A little special guest there from Ryan Talbot, another one of our regulars.
You never know.
Park.
That's why today is a little unusual because all these reporters are traveling down. Bills are done practicing, and the walkthrough will be in Houston tomorrow as they get ready for the game. Danger, do you subscribe to the theory that people pass in threes? You've heard that, right, said. So yesterday you had David Stern. Yesterday you had Don Larson. Now another name has left us. Sam Weish. Sam Weish, former Bengals head coach. Melanoma taking Sam 74. He was just on recently with John Murphy, too. So that's he always kind of kept in touch here with his Buffalo roots as he was his last stop in coaching, if I'm not mistaken, was actually on the Buffalo Bills staff. So yeah. Sam Weish, one of the great ones in Bengals history, 74.
Some of these coaches that we grew up watching and idolizing, and then, you know, whether it's a Sam Weish or Marty Schottenheimer, I mean, you never hear really much from Madden anymore. I mean, like, these guys are getting older. They're getting up there. Hopefully, they're enjoying the years and the time that they have. But sad news here about Sam Weish passing on. He was, you can't forget about Sam Weish there with the Bengals. I mean, you know, for a franchise that has been as downtrodden since he left as the Bengals, Sam Weish meant something to that organization.
What's the one quote everybody will remember? Him grabbing the mic when the stadium's being pelted with garbage after a bad call. Weish gets on the public address announcement at Riverfront on the PA system. Stop. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. YouTube that tonight. That got everybody. Yeah, Bengal fans, sorry if you're lost.
All right. You called it earlier, Gino. We've been off for quite some time here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bottled up some takes, and I've got a couple that I want to unleash on the world here when we play. I'll drink to that next.
First of all, as we're watching this, we have ESPN on the monitors, and there's Dallas. Dallas. The heck? What is going on with Jerry? I'm going to explain to you what is going on in Dallas. Try to hop into the mind of Jerry Jones and explain why Jason Garrett technically today is still the head coach. I'm going to explain why. Well, the Cleveland Browns are a mess and they're not going to get what they want. I'll tell you who their next head coach is. I know you're not going to like it.
All right. I've got who the next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts should be. And if you listen to the show enough, you know where I'm going.
No.
And there's a conversation that happens every year in the NFL, at the beginning of the season in the NFL, and it slowly dies as the season goes on. We just need to stop thinking that this is a thing in the NFL. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. It won't happen. And the Miami Dolphins are actually an example of why it doesn't happen. That's all on the way next. I'll drink to that. Some takes on tap. You're in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, thanks for joining us on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.